Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:34 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is June 1st. I thought I'd kick off with gold. It's up $14. That was an upside key day reversal 3 days ago. Not much follow through yesterday, but certainly following through on the upside today. It's confirming support in the region of the lower side of this range that's been forming for the last 2 months, and also in support in the region of the previous high from back in February. So now, as we zoom out and look at this on a weekly basis, we are not quite yet at a point where we could say that there is an upside weekly key reversal, but a bit of additional strength over the trading day tomorrow would give us an upside weekly key reversal. But I think the more important point here is that, having unwound much of the overbought condition, this has been a relatively mild consolidation in the region of the psychological 2000 level. It's not that surprising that we would get at least a pause in consolidation in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming since the middle of 2020. But it doesn't look like much more than a consolidation. And then I think it's also rather important to highlight that gold has been doing better in other currencies. So when we look at it versus the euro, it moved to a new high in 2022. It's consolidating in the region of that high right now. Now, of course, because the dollar was weak today, then that did sap some of the demand for gold in other currencies. And if we just simply then look at the euro, well, it's the currency which tends to appreciate when the dollar goes down. And there's obviously going to be this big outstanding question, which is that if the dollar is going to trend downwards, what's going to go up against it? And the euro continues to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows and bounce from the region of the 200-day moving average. And it is basically ranging now in the region of the lower side of this trading range that's been forming since 2015. And this is a good sized rebound that's forming this week. Now, Europe is seeing some of the inflationary pressures that everyone's worried about abating, particularly in Germany. And of course, then that will also raise the specter that we're not just simply going to have a disinflationary period, but perhaps a deflationary period or a recession. But then the bigger question is going to be about the supply of cash. And with the US debt ceiling argument looking likely to be settled by either the end of talking today or tomorrow, then that means that there's going to be a lot of debt issuance coming out of the USA to restock the Treasury's coffers. More supply of dollars means they're worth less, so the dollar falls against lots of currencies. And I think it's interesting too that the Norwegian crown has been trending downwards, but it did begin to steady in here today. And that's obviously taking its cue from oil and gas prices. And oil prices were also steadier in here today, up about $2. Continuing to pause here at the lower side of the range, then we did have some rebound today as well in copper prices, and that was on the back of a manufacturing data coming out of China. Still not great, but at least it was better than anticipated. And then on the other side of that, whereas copper prices have rebounded because of better than expected manufacturing data out of China, and of course India as well has got not only some of the fastest growth of any major economy, but also a manufacturing sector that appears to be in rude health. Well, the Nifty index was in negative territory today. What I thought interesting though is that the Aberdeen New Dawn India Trust, it's trading at a discount to NAV of over 19%, and the 5-year average is around a discount of 15%. So even that is still trading at a wider discount relative to the historical norm. And it is firming from the lower side of this range that's been forming since the beginning of 2021, and that is the upper side of the underlying range. So this is a reasonable rebound here, and it's at the first area of potential resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. But I thought it was an interesting contrast that when we look at what's been happening in the AI sector, that Salesforce came out today with an earnings forecast that was not nearly as enthusiastic as investors were hoping for, and the share gapped lower. But then it recouped a good part of that decline by the end of the day. Then, if we look at C3.ai, then it had a similar story that its sales forecast was not as enthusiastic as everyone had hoped for. And, well, as I said, that you had the CEO at the MIT conference last month talking about turning away business. Well, that was reflected in their earnings today because their business hasn't been as prosperous as everyone was expecting. So it gapped lower and then recouped a good part of that loss by the middle of the day and then gave up some of that by the end of the day. And then for companies like Nvidia, what we're continuing to see is a narrowing of breadth, even within the AI sector. So Nvidia was actually up in here today and recouped a good part of the loss that was put in yesterday. So it's still holding this big gap higher following its own earnings announcement. And it is really at an extraordinarily overbought condition. But this is also, I think, what we have evidence here of is a mania. We have companies telling us that they're not selling as much as they thought they would. We have service providers saying that they are very much in the AI field, but that they're not doing as well from it as the share price reflects, and yet shares are going up. So that is very reflective of a mania where stocks will rise on both good and bad news. And AMD is another where the share has been weak for 2 days, but then was in positive territory in here today as well. What we are definitely also starting to see is some renewed interest in companies that really haven't been doing much. So Qorvo, for example, has been going sideways for about a year, and it is now just pushing up through the 1,000, or excuse me, the 200-day moving average, and then Texas Instruments hasn't had nearly the same amount of volatility as some of those other tech shares, and it's also firming within this range and bouncing from the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And neither of these companies are specifically being related to artificial intelligence. That's despite the fact that Texas Instruments actually markets one of its chips as an AI platform, but they haven't been the beneficiaries of the initial surge. But at least these are, well, it's certainly in the case of Qorvo, which is really much more about the mobile handsets and the transmitters for mobile communication. They do have, I think, evolving base formation characteristics or ranges that have got firming characteristics within them. So there's the possibility that they will start to catch additional interest. And that is, of course, on the assumption that this mania around artificial intelligence persists a while longer. Now, when we think then about what's happening in the bond markets, the 10-year Treasury yield was mildly negative in here today, so still holding the sequence of lower rally highs, coming back down to test the psychological 3.5% level. And there's emerging speculation that the Federal Reserve will pause at the next meeting and leave the door open to potentially continue hiking later. Now, when we look at the 10-year minus the 3-month, where we have rising yields at the short end and falling at the long end, then it's starting to come back down again. We're down to negative, and think this is interesting here that the chart is showing a negative 175, and my I don't actually know how to explain that, or at least that doesn't appear to have been updated at this at the top of the screen. So the trend, however, is very clear, and the most important thing is that it's quite normal for markets to experience a good-sized rally immediately after the initial inversion, and as long as the yield curve is inverting. It's when we start to see this turning around and trending higher, that's when some of the pain starts to be experienced within the stock market. But of course, the peak at which that eventually begins is an unknowable right now. Now, when we think about more broadly within the tech sector, Apple made a new all-time high, or it's approaching a new all-time high in here today. There's a great deal of enthusiasm around the launch of its new augmented reality, virtual reality headset, and we don't exactly know what that is going to entail. But it is likely to be rather expensive at about $3,000. Now, one thing that I bought the Quest for my family in March of 2020, of 2020, right as the pandemic was breaking. I thought we had really better have a new toy to play with if everyone's going to be at home for a while. And I was lucky that I'd got them before they sold out. But what I very quickly found was that wearing it for more than half an hour at a time really strained my eyes. And then, if you just take a break, it'll go. The strain goes away. But then, if you use it, or at least for in my case, if I used it more than a couple of times in a day, my eyes would be strained all of the next day. And by strain, what I mean is blurry vision or a difficulty in focus. That obviously makes driving something that is a bit of a challenge. And the thing that I would be very keen to monitor is, will Apple say anything about the eye strain issue? And is there an eye strain issue with augmented reality, where you're using glasses to look at a superimposed image on reality? So there might not be the same kind of focus issues that you have with vision when the camera is right next to your eye, but you're trying to focus on something that is giving the illusion of being further away. So I think these are interesting questions, but Apple is certainly continuing to rally here, and so is Meta. And Meta continues to rebound in a very aggressive manner. But the trend is still consistent. So it is up in a very meaningful manner now since the low back in October, and it has recouped more than half of the decline put in 2021 and 2022. So this is pricing in the very real potential that Meta will be one of the leaders in artificial intelligence, and not least because they have access to the personal data and proclivities of literally billions of people. So I think what Mark Zuckerberg did was probably a very smart thing, that he open sourced the data that Meta have in order to allow the sector to grow and therefore diffuse a lot of the issues that people might have with Meta controlling all of that data, whereas they still control all of that data, and they're certainly going to be in a prime position as we come through into marketable type of products. Now, when we look at the broader market, we've certainly seen that the Fangman shares have rebounded and are at new all-time highs relative to the total market. Then the FTSE 100 was in mildly positive territory today, but it's got a lot of work to do in order to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The pound is one of the stronger currencies in here today, and was back above the 125 level, finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average, pushing back up into the overhead trading range. So that's certainly an indication that the market has greater faith in the more responsible fiscal attitude that has been enforced upon the UK government. Of course, that's not going to be especially popular with a good portion of the population. But what is, I think, worth celebrating is that bond yields have started to come back down, and that should help to eventually ameliorate some of the concerns that people have with the refixings they're going to have with their mortgages. Then let's think about the broader European stock market. So the Euro Stoxx Index, which is the euro-denominated markets, was in positive territory today. It will need to follow through on the upside tomorrow in order to confirm that it is finding support at a successively higher level in the region of the 200-day moving average. Then the European banking sector has been rather quiet of late, but it is also steadying here in the region of the 200-day moving average. So we've had some really significant stabs to the downside over the last 3 years, but following each of them, the market has rallied. So now the bigger question is how long a period of consolidation will there be, and ultimately will the region of that 1,000-day moving average continue to hold? Now, with gold continuing to appreciate, and with gold appreciating in several currencies, then the bigger point, of course, is that the global economy is slowing down. The logical expectation is that central banks will eventually be printing more money. And then with oil prices no longer surging higher, then that is likely to be beneficial for the mining sector. So the VanEck Gold Miners ETF has popped on the upside, and it is now firming from the region of the 200-day moving average. Then some of the bigger companies are among the better performers in here today. So Newmont has bounced from the $40 area, which is the lower side of its range. And Newmont's dividend has been tied to the gold price now for a good long time. So there's certainly the potential that the dividend will increase in line with the gold price. We've had a fairly significant setback in several of the Australian gold miners. And Perseus looks like it has found a low of at least near-term significance. It's been a choppy uptrend over the last 4 years, but it is nonetheless an uptrend. And Evolution Mining has also been under pressure because they have had difficulty with sustaining their output with floods and labor issues and rising costs. But it was well off the lows in here this week, and also bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. And Northern Star is another one where we've seen a rebound starting to come through in here. So I think we're definitely starting to see some of the gold miners beginning to reflect the outlook that gold prices can stay higher for longer, and that the inflationary pressures from higher wages and higher energy costs, they're not going to be permanent, and that you'll have some ebb and flow in that, so that there's the potential at least that the received price for the gold will appreciate over time. Now, silver prices had rallied very spectacularly and were due a consolidation, and it looks like we've seen the end of that consolidation. So having unwound most of the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average, now the price is steadying once more. So I think this is a low of at least near-term significance. If we get upside follow-through next week, then that will confirm it. But I think the most important thing is that silver has now broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and we've had a sequence of higher reaction lows since September. And as long as that remains the case, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And then platinum prices have steadied back around the $1,000 level, and at least holding that psychological level is, I think, a victory here. Now, what platinum needs is a new demand driver. There's the potential that retooling for catalytic converters will be that new source of demand, and then longer term, the evolution of the hydrogen fuel cell cycle could also be beneficial. Of course, anything that is beneficial for demand for platinum isn't likely to be beneficial for palladium, and the price is barely steady here at the lower side of the range that's been forming for the last 3 years. When we look at the wider industrial metals, the LME Metals Index is right back in the region of the lows from 2022. It's likely to have been in positive territory in here today, and investors are at least willing to give the benefit of the doubt in the very short term to Chinese demand not disappearing. So I think it is, though, important to pay attention to some of the property developers in China. If we're going to have a renewed support for the property sector, then they should start to do better. And we don't have a lot of evidence to support that just yet. So Country Garden, for example, is still trending downwards and is now coming back into the region of the lows from 2022. So that's not reflective of renewed enthusiasm by the central government for supporting the property sector. I think that is by far the most or the biggest risk here, that Chinese demand is taken for granted. And I don't think that that should be the case, that if China stops investing in the bricks and mortar sector, then that's not likely to be a great story. So copper is oversold in the short term. It could unwind the oversold condition, go back up and test the region of the 200-day moving average. The bigger question after that will be how much further will it go on the upside. Now, the copper miners ETF was in positive territory today, bouncing from the lower side of its range. But we had fireworks today in the uranium sector, and the uranium ETF has come up in a very dynamic manner to put in an upside weekly key reversal. It's on the back of a nuclear energy bill being passed in the USA, which will lower some of the regulations, regulatory hurdles, and then additionally make it easier to permit more modern technologies. And of course, the modern technologies include thorium reactors, modular reactors, fusion technology. So there's a lot going on in the uranium sector, in the nuclear sector generally, and that definitely does need a new rule book from regulators in order to contain costs. But it's also likely to be beneficial for the wider mining sector. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.